And we've been looking at this whole theme of what it means to be a radical disciple. We've been doing a little acrostic message, and there's been a message on each letter of the word radical. And we're now to our last letter, and that is the letter L. And, oh yes, we're going to talk about love. And I want to ask this question this morning, is your love a radical love? And that's what we're going to look at, is my love. Ask yourself personally, is my love this morning truly a radical love? So I want to introduce you, first of all, we've looked at the word radical. What does that mean? Radical means relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something far-reaching and thorough. So if we're going to just be nominal Christians, then let's just pack up and go home. But if we're going to be radical Christians, we're going to be Christians that are transformed all the way through in every area of our life, on every level of our life. Now, there are radical people that are directing their thoughts towards us for harm. And they want to kill everybody who doesn't line up with their way of thinking. We need to be radical people who are positioned to bless people with love. And we're going to talk about that, whether they deserve it or not. Whether they deserve it or not. Even those politicians, Brother Jerry. Even those politicians. So a radical disciple is this: a believer whose life is absolutely surrendered to Jesus Christ and is being fundamentally changed both in its nature and in its actions. Meaning God's changing the inside of me and it's having an impact on the outside of me. Make sense? That's the way it works. A lot of people think, we got to change the outside before God accepts us. God always catches his fish before he cleans them. He doesn't expect fish to be clean before he receives them. He receives us just as we are. And then he begins to start his work of the big word in that theology of sanctification, which just literally means we get to be more like him every day. And he does that by changing what's in us, and what changes within us has to change what's without. That's why back in the early days of the Jesus movement, when I got saved, I wasn't a total hippie. I did have long hair, but I wasn't a total hippie. But the deal was is that the people in the church who weren't that way were just like freaking out about these young people who had the long hair and the flips and the, you know, and the weird clothes and everything. And they, how can these people, boy, why don't they get a haircut, you know, go to the barber, get everything changed, and then we can accept them. And, you know, usually they ended up getting haircuts down the road and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's not a lot of us left over from that era that are still walking around going, hey, well, man. Well, unless we did something to our mind that altered that state forever. But the point is that God was changing the inside of these folks, and a lot of the people in the church missed that. We have the same possibility of missing it in this culture. God is more interested in our hearts than he is in about the exterior, because he knows that the heart will end up changing the exterior. So you got it? He changes our fundamental nature, and it results in a change in our actions. That's a radical disciple. So let's look at this thing called radical love. Now, just some basic foundation. Love is the hallmark of the Christian life. And you know that from John 13, 34 to 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. He says that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He didn't say they'll know you're my disciples by anything else. He limited it to this one thing. By this shall all men know you are my disciples in that you have love. And I want to propose radical love. And we're going to see what that is this morning. 1 John 4:21, John writes again in his first epistle, And he says, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother." Well, wow, I don't know if I like that. God's saying that if I love him, I got to love everybody else, except for cousin so-and-so, or sister what's-her-name, or that irritating guy, or gal. No, everybody. So that's radical love. So radical love, whoops, getting into that, is the believer's call now is to take that radical love and realize it's anything but ordinary love. Now, here's what ordinary love is. Luke 6, Jesus says in verse 27, he says, you know, it's easy to love those who love you. Here's what I want you to do. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Now, that's not ordinary love, is it? Ordinary love says, I'm going to love you if you love me. If you treat me nice, I'm going to treat you nice. If you don't treat me nice, you're off my list. But radical love says, I'm to love those who are my enemies, and I'm to love those who even hate me. He says, if you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners. Now, we're all sinners, folks, saved by grace, but we're talking about unregenerated sinners who have never come to know Christ. He said, the person who doesn't know me, the person who doesn't have that experience of grace with me, even they love those who love them. But because now you know me, and because you've received my grace, I'm calling you to love beyond that. 1 John 3:16-18, in your bulletin, I wrote this down. You know, when the Bible was translated, and then when it was written out in English, and it was divided into chapters and verses, how many of you know that that did not happen by the original authors? The chapters and verses were added later. They're not inspired. However, it's a real neat coincidence. I think the Holy Spirit had something to do with this one. How many know John 3:16? We all know that, right? We learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It tells us how much God loved us. And then in 1 John 3:16-18, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed or in truth. So he's saying, if God loved us so much, that's supposed to tell us how we are to love other people. And it was radical, wasn't it? Romans 5 says God demonstrated his love to us that when we were his enemies, he came and died for us. And it goes on and says, you know, rarely for a righteous man will somebody die. You'll read about that. Someone gave their life to save someone else who was part of their own country. But you don't read many times about someone laying down their life for their enemy. It does happen, but very infrequently. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. So we're going to talk about three things that define radical love this morning. We're going to talk about that radical love is the love of the other cheek, the love of the cherished cloak, and the love of the extra mile. So let's do that. What is radical love? First, we want to look at it's the love of the other cheek. Now, I'm going to put a scripture on the screen here in a moment from the Message translation. I'm going to read you the King James translation first, and then I want to just give you a little different flavor. Matthew 5:38-39, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now here's from from the Message, which is a paraphrase, but just listen to how it words in the light it shines on. It says, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, is that going to get us anywhere? Here is what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. Now that will, all of a sudden, everybody will rise up with different opinions. Well, that doesn't mean, does that mean you don't defend yourself? Does that mean if someone's trying to harm your family, you let them harm your family? Well, no. It doesn't mean those things. Let's see what it does mean. Here's the background. The eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth were part of the widespread ancient Near Eastern law of retaliation. In Israel and other cultures, this principle was enforced by a court and refers to a legalized vengeance. Personal vengeance was never accepted under the law of Moses. So in the Old Testament, even if someone killed a family member, one of the family members, if that person was accused and convicted, they were able to take out the vengeance by being the executor of that person who had killed their family member. But it never legitimized or legalized personal vengeance. The Bible was always against people taking vengeance, but this is not really talking about that type of thing. The eye for an eye, he says, the blow on the right cheek. Now this is when Jesus said, if someone strikes you on your one cheek, turn to him and give him the other also. The blow on the right cheek in Eastern culture was the most grievous of insults that you could give anyone, apart from inflicting serious physical harm. In many cultures, this insult was listed along with an eye for an eye laws, and both Jewish and Roman law permitted prosecution for this offense. We read in the Old Testament, the prophet Micaiah was prophesying in the word of the Lord, and a false prophet came up and struck him on the right cheek. It was an insult of the greatest magnitude. And so I want to take that concept now, and when we're talking about radical love being a love of the other cheek, we're not talking about not defending yourself in a life-threatening situation. We're not talking about not defending your family if they were in harm. But we're talking about that type of personal attack that comes against you to tear down who you are, who God says you are, your worth as a person. That very insulting action, that very hurtful word that strikes you on the right cheek of your heart. And all of us have gone through that. How many of you have experienced that in your life? I mean, and it is devastating at times. And so how does radical love respond to that? Well, first of all, radical love forgives. Radical love forgives. One of the hardest things you'll ever be called to do in your life is when someone has reached out and struck you in such a way emotionally, personally, that it wounds you so deep that you even have such depths of anger that if you weren't restrained, you might do something terrible. The hardest thing that you ever be called to do is to forgive that person. And yet radical love calls us to forgive. It calls us to forgive. Radical love does not seek revenge for personal offenses. Radical love does not live by the credo of tit for tat, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If they hurt me, well, I'm going to hurt them back. If they said that about me, well, I'm going to say something bad about them. You know, a lot of times we don't even think we're doing that, but what happens is someone wounds us so greatly that we begin to tell everybody else about how wonderfully wounded we were by that person. By that way, we are getting revenge because we are casting a shadow then upon their reputation, upon their name, to get even with them for what they did to us. Facebook is filled with that, folks. Facebook is filled. I want to write a letter, dear editor. Here are the things that you should never do on Facebook. Yeah. I don't really want to see the gory details of your injury. Don't show me the bleeding wounds, please. And don't emote your personal emotional wounds on Facebook as a means of telling everybody else how terrible the person was that just wounded you. You see, we don't. Radical love doesn't get revenge for offenses. Radical love forgives. Radical love then risks loving again, even though the offending party might not reciprocate this love. They don't deserve my love. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And you might be absolutely right. And if we're talking about ordinary love, kick them in the pants. But if we're talking about radical love, you got to forgive them. You got to bless them. You got to pray for them. You got to love them. Radical love does not store offenses and build walls. You know you're storing offenses when you're not getting set free from them, and when that person or persons or something happens that's very similar to that wounding event in your life comes up, all of a sudden you get your box out and start reviewing all of the previous things that hurt you. You know then you've stored offenses. And stored offenses build walls. If the Bible tells me if I'm going to worship the Lord and I realize that my brother has something against me, that I need to first go be reconciled to my brother, then come give my gift, if I have that box with me, it's going to keep me from coming to the Lord. Because along the way, I'm going to start reading the notes again. Oh, they said that. They said that. Well, maybe this isn't a very good idea. Forget it. They're not worth it. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus, on the way to the cross, began to read the box of offenses that we had committed against him? And if all of a sudden he stopped and said, you know what? They're not worth it. They don't deserve it. How many of you know we don't deserve it? But radical love calls us to give it. And finally, radical love suffers for doing what is right and commits their heart to the care of the Lord. I'm going to love not because I feel like it all the time. I'm going to forgive not because it's naturally within me. I'm going to love and forgive because that's what radical love calls me to do, and that's what Jesus calls me to do. And that's what grace enables me to do. I could share a lot of stories about this, but the time doesn't permit me this morning. Radical love forgives. It's the love of the cherished cloak. The scripture is Matthew 5:40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Matthew 5:40 from the Message. If someone drags you into court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. I like the way that said. You know, how many of you have your best coat? When I was a kid, man, this was back in the 60s. Some of you can remember this. These coats that were all big and fluffy and hairy were in style. That was my best coat, baby. I wouldn't have given that to anybody. God's saying radical love wraps up the best coat. Gives it. What's the background? Well, in Jesus' time and in the time of the writing of the Old Testament, there were many poor people, and a lot of them only had two articles of clothing. They had their main clothes, and then they had a cloak. Now, that cloak was not just a covering. You can see on that picture on the screen. It wasn't just a covering, you know, to like finish their ensemble. It was a covering to keep them warm. It was a covering to keep them from the dust storms that happened in that area. And when they went to bed at night, it was their blankie. And you who have little kids, you know, and grandchildren, you know, you don't take away the blankie. The Bible tells us that radical love does not take away that which keeps someone warm. It doesn't strip them of their last bit of dignity. It doesn't take away their cloak. Radical love looks at that person and invests in them. Radical love gives to people regardless of their worth. Sometimes I've been convicted. I don't always give to someone who's begging, because I believe you need to work, and I believe there's other programs I support that help people that will do much better. But there are times when I've been convicted and I've gone back and I've given to somebody who has a sign out. I know that they may drink it. I know that I may be making a mistake, but I only do that when the Holy Spirit prompts me. And they don't deserve it, most of them. You know, I like the one guy who was honest and he had a sign out. He says, need money for beer. I didn't give to that guy. But at least he was honest. You know, we'll work for booze, you know. Radical love gives regardless of the individual's worth. And then radical love gives with no strings attached. You know, when I have given to someone like that, it hasn't been, okay, now here, oh, wait, you got to promise you're going to get a job. Oh, wait, you're going to promise you're never going to stand on the street corner and beg again. No, radical love doesn't do that. Radical love just invests in people whether they're worth it or not. Because that's what God did with us. He invested in us when we were not worth it at all. He saw something within us that we did not see within ourselves, nor did anyone else see within us. And when he gave us his love, he did it without strings attached. When Jesus died, it says he died for the sins of the whole world. Now, we know that a person's not born again unless they receive that, right? But the Bible says when he died, the sacrifice he gave was for everyone, even those who would not receive him. And so we're called with radical love to invest in others. Radical love gives as a response to the cross. I don't give to people, I don't invest in people, I don't believe in people, I don't pray for people because they deserve it, because they're worth it, because I like them, because of any other reason. I do it only because he has done so much through the cross for me. And my response through the cross is, freely have you received, now freely give. By this we know, John says, that we love, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The final expression of radical love is, radical love is the love of the extra mile. The love of the extra mile. Matthew 5, 41 to 42 says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. In the message, it says this: if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-to-tat, tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Now, the background of this was, in Jesus' time, it started with the reign of the Persians, and under King Cyrus, the Medes and the Persians, they didn't have post office back then. How many of you know that? It was kind of like a Pony Express thing. When they wanted to send a message, they would then send heralds that would carry the message to the next person, who would then relay it to the next person. They'd carry it kind of like in a, just like in the Olympics, like a, what do you call that? Relay, thank you. You know, the hand off the baton, right? Well, in Jesus' time, the Romans then used much the same system, and the soldiers then began to capitalize on that, and they took it one step further. If they're carrying their pack down the road, and all of a sudden they see one of the people who are subservient to them, they go, hey, Terry, you carry this pack for a mile. They could legally conscript Terry to carry the pack for a mile. Then they'd have to take it back, find another guy like Mitch, then James, then Mike. I mean, they could literally travel where they were going without ever having to pick anything up because they could conscript, force people to carry their load. Jesus, knowing this, said, if one of those people came up to you and says, I want you to carry my load for a mile, you see, the minimum is, I only have to do it for a mile. Oh, the mile's up. My commitment is done. But radical love says, no, give them an extra mile. Even when you were forced to do it. Doesn't make any sense to me. You see, radical love believes. Radical love always goes beyond the minimum requirement. Do you know that God always goes beyond the minimum requirement for you and I? The Bible says that He does exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. Radical love also always gives others and themselves a second chance. We're talking about going the extra mile. Yeah, but Pastor Kirk, you don't understand. I've given that guy 50 miles. Well, God says give him 51. And when the 51st is over, give him 52, 53, 54. Doesn't mean you let people take advantage of you, wipe their feet on you like a doormat. It means you continue to believe that everyone can change. Yeah, but Pastor Kirk, everyone won't change. I know that. But does that nullify the truth that everyone can change? And as radical disciples who are walking with radical love, should we err on the side of believing in someone or on doubting that they ever can change? Do we stop investing our prayers and our love and our concern and our help in them because they cross that line? I'm done with them. You know, when you're done with them, God will find someone who's not. I don't want to be the guy who just lays down the baton until God tells me to pass it off because I'm done with them. Some of you are here this morning because someone refused to be done with you and they kept praying for you. Radical love, I love this picture, looks beyond one's limitations and calls forth their God-given potential. Worship team, come back up. Ephesians 3, 18 to 21 says this, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, three last questions. Just how radical is your love? Are you willing to forgive others? Are you willing to turn the other cheek? Are you willing to invest in others? Are you willing to part with the coveted cloak? Are you willing to continue to believe in others? Are you willing to go that extra mile? You know, every person in that video could have been given up on, written off, forgotten, and Jesus Christ redeems lives. There's not a life that He cannot redeem. There's not a bondage He cannot break. There's not a hopeless mind that He can't fill with love and hope and purpose and joy. And the hardest case is not too hard for God. So stand with me as we close these last couple songs and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and life. Oh God, give us a radical love, we pray. Lord, we come because of that love that never gave up on us. Maybe we've given up on other people and we need to run to the cross this morning and just ask you to pour out your grace anew on us, to give us the ability to go that extra mile, to turn that other cheek, to invest in people once again with our prayers, in our words of kindness and hope, calling forth what you see in their lives, not pointing out what we see, but calling forth what you see, because that's what you're doing over us this morning. You don't look upon us and start to point out everything that's wrong with us. You look upon us and you call forth that which you have called us to become in Christ Jesus. And it's with a jealous love that you watch over us. It's with a deep, deep love that you care for us. You defeat our sin. You set us free. You give us grace to be radical disciples filled with radical love for a hurting world that's bound by radical sin and darkness. Only radical love will overcome radical hate. Only radical love will break through radical darkness. And it's the love of God. It's the love of Jesus that we need. Oh, we cry out to you. Overcome us with your deep, deep love. If you're here, would you come forward this morning? And as we close, listen. Maybe God's calling some of you to the cross. Maybe for the first time. If that's the case, There'll be someone here to pray with you. Maybe just for a recommitment of your life or something that you just know you've got to deal with. I want to tell you that, you know, going to the cross is painful sometimes. There are times when he calls us to do things that are way beyond our comfort zone, but he has bestowed such a radical love on us. What he calls us to do, he will give us grace to respond. Some of you may have thought, as we've shared, oh wow, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to extend forgiveness and love to someone who's offended me and try to rebuild that bridge, but I am afraid to do that. I know I've done things to offend them, they've done things to offend me, and I just really don't want to go there. But if the Lord is tugging on your heart, I want to tell you something. Go there. Go there. I had a very close friend that I had lunch with, and they were sharing some things with me, and I responded wrongly to them. I think I was threatened by what they were saying, and so I got in a defensive posture, and I just said a bunch of stuff, and when I left, I knew, oh, what did I do? And then the Holy Spirit said, you need to call them up, and you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to repent of that. And I said, but I can't. That's too hard, Lord. And I stewed on it for weeks, folks. I'm not proud of that. For weeks I wrestled with God and God wouldn't let me go. I want you to call this person. I want you to ask them to forgive you. And so finally I got on the phone and I called them and I said, you know what? I said, you remember when we had lunch? I feel I've really offended you. That I said things I shouldn't have said, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And they said to me, oh, there's no problem. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, why in the world did you tell me to call them if they were going to tell me there was no problem? But, you know, I don't really know if there was no problem, folks. They may have just said that to be gracious to me, but I believe that there was a problem, and my obedience then brought us back into reconciliation. So whatever God's calling you to do, he will give you grace to do it. It's better to be reconciled than to be broken. Father, help us to reconcile. Help us to walk with radical love this week. If you're here and you need to know Jesus, then come forward. If you need prayer because you're dealing with one of those tough ones and you need to be prayed over and agreed with for extra grace to go and be reconciled, then do that. But let's walk with radical love this week. Let's let people see our light shine radically for Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Go in the love of the Lord. If you need prayer, come forward.